Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Evan, can you feel it in the air? Here we go. This is real.
It's finally time.
Every team, every postseason, there's no more waiting around. Every postseason team gets a crack at actually playing a real life baseball game. After, were you surprised by the fact that we didn't have to play a third day for any team?
Yeah, that was wild, because I thought some of those series, I mean, going into it, I didn't think the Marlins were going to give the Phillies that much of a run. I was actually pretty shocked. I mean, obviously, you know, we support Torrey Lovello,
You got it right.
Lovello, I got it right. We always support him. And, but I wasn't sure if they were going to do good against the Brewers, because obviously I was supporting the Brewers late in the season. And then they came back both times. So that was awesome. But I thought that if that was going to be a big series, I figured that one might go to three. The Twins versus Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Mercurial ones.
Yeah, the Mercurial. I wasn't really sure about that one. And then the Rangers and the Rays, that had the most potential to go three. I was shocked that the Rays went down 2-0.
Well, let me tell you what. The MVP of the – if you had to pick like an MVP of that whole group of games, it was Arizona's bullpen. Because you know, you get off, you know, Fought can get through whatever, two innings or three innings.
Yep.
And the seven pitchers have to pitch and beat, you know, a pretty good pitcher in his own right in Corbin Burns. So that was the MVP. You can talk about Stott's home grand slam. You can talk about, you know, whatever the pitchers for the starting pitchers for Texas, you know. So, but that was, to me, like, that was the one. And enough about Carlos Correa calling for a pickoff play. I don't care. I really don't care. It's a nice little story. Yeah. There you go. What a gritty, gutty warrior. All right. Well, so we just want to do this. Betting isn't boring. I think it's a good time. It's also a good time, just because it's a little less convoluted when you have so many teams and so many things to bet on in the course of a year, which we appreciate. FanDuel.com/boring. And I want to run this by you why I'm thinking of this. We should have a contest, right? We should probably workshop this before, but to say, hey, listeners, hey, followers, if you get all four series right, you get something, or you get in consideration for something, because there might be multiple. So we're going to do that. I think we'll do
that. Yeah, no, that definitely.
Yeah, why don't you think of something? You're the social media guru. So
yeah, I got to come up with something. Yeah.
If you get all four right, and I think I'm going to get all four right, then you get in the mix. You get qualified to win something, maybe tickets to a game next year or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right. There you go. All right. Well, like I said, it's just pretty straightforward. You have four different series, best of five, correct? Best of five.
Yep.
Best of five series. And it's been a long day. Driving back from Philadelphia, it's been a long day. But the four series, cut and dry, all good series. And And I think the FanDuel odds suggest that, which I'm going to give you the FanDuel odds real quick. Just, I'm going to rattle them off and then we'll get the East series. So the Orioles and Rangers, they're basically saying this is almost an even series because the O's are minus 115, Rangers are minus 105. The Astros, they're minus 154, the Twins plus 126. So the Astros are favorites there.
Yeah.
This one I don't get, honestly. The Braves minus 184 and the Phillies plus 148.
Yeah, that makes no sense. This feels like such an even series.
I think it's going to be such an awesome series. And the Dodgers minus 200, big favorites over the Arizona Diamondbacks plus 160. So spin the wheel of series. Where do you want to start? Which series do you want to start with, Evan?
I think the one series that I'm the most in a toss-up on is probably the Twins-Astros.
All right, let's start with the Twins-Astros, okay?
Yep.
The Twins beat, in the season series, they beat the Astros 4-2. But keep this in mind. That's sort of that's a mirage.
Yeah.
It's been 4 months since they met. The pitchers who are probably going to start, the first three pitchers for the Astros, Verlander, Valdez, and Javier, didn't even face the Twins this year. And also the Astros haven't faced Pablo Lopez, who he's not going to pitch the first game, but he's still like, he's probably their ace right now.
Yeah.
So what do you got? Who do you got? Who do you got before I get into my what's what?
You know, I think based on, and maybe I was seduced by Rich Hill and his pick on who he'd ride and die with. But considering in a five-game series, if you go at least four or five games, maybe Sonny Gray pitches twice. I mean, that's probably two wins, you know, considering that he's saying he's like a guy that, you know, probably can make a deep run this postseason if you have him at the front of your rotation, along with Pablo Lopez, who's obviously doing great. If Joe Ryan gets a really good start, obviously he struggled toward the end of the year, but I think I got to go with the Twins there. And I know the Astros, obviously, you know, it's easy to pick them because they're seemingly in the World Series every year, but I don't know. I feel like these fighting Twins, you know, you got Rocco Baldelli. It just feels like a team of destiny a little bit.
I like the starters. And we said this is how the Twins were going to make hay anyway. But when you see Sonny Gray out there, you know, that's the guy you want out there. You know, you see a Pablo Lopez, that's the guy you want out there. And then they have enough. There's a couple other guys. You mentioned Joe Ryan. So one of these guys are going to have to step up. Yeah. And, you know, and okay, the Astros, Verlander, Valdez, Javier, okay, sure. You know, they could go either way. Obviously, you would think that they would be okay. They've done it before in the postseason. The Astros have done it before in the postseason. There's one wild card here, Evan. Number one is, I didn't realize this. So, Jose Abreu, like, who didn't hit a home run until, like, end of May. Or something like that. Remember that? It was in Oakland. He like gave he made it seem like it was the biggest home run of his life.
Sprinted around the bases. Yeah.
He had seven home runs in September. He had seven home runs in September. And Yordan Alvarez.
Guy where I think you're waiting for, right?
Yeah.
The guy where it was like, it's going to happen eventually.
Well, and also in the postseason, he's a guy that you probably think, okay, he's going to get it done. And Yordan Alvarez. That's the guy. If you want me to power rank, the guy I don't want to face at a key moment in a playoff game is Yordan Alvarez. Yeah. And he was the offensive player of the month in September in the American League. So all of that said, I'm not gonna like fool with it. I'm not gonna lie to you. A lot of these bets, a lot of these picks is going with my heart. It's who I want them to win. Because because why not? Why not? Because it's pretty close. I mean, like we said, Astros minus 154, Twins plus 126. Okay, the Astros are a favorite. But I'm telling you, if the Twins can take one of those first two games, a couple things that concern me a little bit, because the Twins are a team that they're – their problem has maybe been scoring runs a little bit, but Royce Lewis, obviously, you know, tipping pitches, hitting home runs, whatever. Good for him. He's a good player, but he has a hamstring issue. Carlos Correa, last at bat, he got hit in the hand. Not that he's like carrying the world on fire, but you know, still. So they have to score runs. They have to score runs. And I got to be honest with you, Evan, like, I got to see more of Duran in the postseason. I applaud his enthusiasm and his skipping around and his throwing 104 miles an hour. But it was, you know, sometimes those guys, it changes a little bit in the postseason. Anyway,
also there was that weird thing in the last game that he came in the clinching game for them to move on, where they were like checking out something for like seemingly like 15 minutes. And I had no idea what it ended up being, but then he ended up pitching. But I don't know if it was like he had like a finger issue or something. So I don't know if that's something to look into, but I don't know.
Well, so anyway, we're both picking the Twins. Is that right? Correct?
Yep. Yep.
All right, Twins. I'm writing it down right now. All right, I'll choose the next series. Let's go Braves Phillies. So Braves minus 184, Phillies plus 148. And, you know, you have – so Atlanta, a couple of factoids here, that Atlanta has won 8 of their last 10 game playoff games at Truist Park. Spencer Strider, who's starting game one, has absolutely dominated the Phillies. So you look at the matchups, oh, my God, terrible numbers against Strider.
Yeah.
But conversely, Atlanta, they after Strider, it gets a little dicey. Charlie Morton not in the series, and Max Fried blister issue. So, and I tell you what, again, we are all about being seduced by interviews and post game celebrations. By the way, great poll of the on at BB Isn't Boring, the Instagram account. Of finding the alternative angle of me filming the owner of the Phillies.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I just saw that online. I'm like, hey, there's Rob. Because he was like, apparently that was the translator for the Phillies, and he was just dumping it on everybody. I think he also dumped it on Sam Fold at the same guy.
Well,
he was going around.
So it seemed like, and you could hear me in that interview with Middleton. It was, or I should say Mr. Middleton. Everybody calls the owners Mr. Yeah. Middleton. But I'm like, hey, you got a second, very nice guy. And if you hear it, he says, oh, yeah, we meet again. And the reason was is because when I was walking out of the clubhouse the day before, I opened the clubhouse door and I wailed him like he was sitting on the other side. Yeah. So he was very nice about it. So that was my fault. But he's like, oh, so we meet again. Yeah. And so we were talking. And then as we were talking, it seemed like I was engaging him while everyone came over and doused him. But but, you know, I told you this. Like, I come away from being around the Phillies and I'm like, number one, that's a team that, like, the vibe is off the charts right now. Number two, they're a good team. Number three, they're a healthy team. They probably have the healthiest pitching staff. And, you know, can you shut down this epic offense of the Braves? I don't know. But I know that you position yourself really, really, really well to do it. If they can take one of these games in Atlanta, you know, I think that they're in good shape. I think it's going to be a great series. I mean, this is – I don't care what the odds say. I mean, this is a great, great matchup.
No, yeah. It's also, you know, not that – last postseason has anything to do with this postseason, but I mean, last postseason, granted, the Phillies lost to the Astros in the World Series, but they're like one of the more consistently good teams in the postseason, whereas the Braves, besides their World Series victory, are kind of known for crapping out. And I know it's like, you know, you can't really compare one year's team to the next, but that's kind of the vibe I get. So, you know, if I had to pick this series, I probably got to go with the Phillies. And it's not really even due to like getting seduced by all the players we've had on and the GM and the president. It's more just due to the fact that like recent history says that if they take one in Atlanta, they have probably the best home field advantage in baseball right now with how crazy that stadium is. Odds are that they might or most likely will take both games in Philly. So it's all about just taking one of the three in Atlanta. So,
and I'm going to give you another thing. You know, you talk about Citizens Bank Park is electric, great crowd, one of the best crowds, playoff crowds. But Truist Park is going to be a great crowd too. But I'll say this, the Phillies, the way that team's constructed, I don't think they'll be impacted one iota by the crowd. Like the Marlins, you couldn't say that about. Some of these teams, you can't say that about. But this Phillies team, that they've already been through it. You know, they have a bunch of 30 somethings. We've already talked about that. I don't feel like it just comes down to, can you get the pitching Can you get the pitching against that Braves offense? That's what it can. And another thing that concerns me about the Phillies is the end of the game. It's Kimbrel. It just is. Like, you know, like, so they have other guys, but, you know, you don't want to – I don't know. I the Kimbrel thing worries me a little bit.
Yeah, throughout the year, they've never had that. I mean, even Iglesias with the Braves, you know, he's like a pretty reliable guy the entire year, you know, when he took over. But for them, yeah, I mean, the entire year, they used Soto the other day. You know, they had Kimbrel. So
Hoffman's been awesome.
Hoffman, Kirkering looked pretty good. Obviously, he's super young, so you never really
know. Yeah, I think all those guys are good. It's just, you know, don't be married to the idea of Craig Kimbrel. Like, just don't. Yeah. So, all right, are you picking the Phillies?
Yeah, I got to go Phillies.
First of all, without those odds, all day long.
Yeah.
Like, all day long. No doubt. All right, your turn to pick. You got the O's Rangers or Dodgers Arizona?
So the Dodgers Arizona one, as we've showcased on all of our social media quite often, is such a pull at the heartstrings series, you know, because obviously we got the fighting Lovellos, and then obviously we got Joe Kelly on the other side, and we got so many other guys that we've become, you know, friendly with just through you going and interviewing them, obviously Evan Phillips and all those guys. So it makes it hard, but I have to, you know, as long as Gallen and Kelly are good in their games, I could definitely see a path for the Diamondbacks, considering I know that Kershaw and Miller have been announced as the first two guys in their series. So I think those could be two good matchups if they put those two guys against those two guys. But I think I got to go Dodgers. Just I know that it's like, you know, you probably wouldn't be making money if you're betting on it, but it's just it's hard to pick against the Dodgers because despite the fact that, you know, they're kind of tricky in the postseason, I just feel like they're really good at getting guys to come together regardless of, you know, what they're seated at and what they're picked as. And especially when Joe Kelly said, you know, a while ago, he was saying, you know, this might be the final year that we're or the first year that we're ever like an underdog in the series. I mean, if they move on and take on either the Phillies or the Braves, odds are that they'd be the underdog in the NLCS. So that'd be pretty crazy to see, too. But I think I got to go Dodgers here.
Yeah, so the Dodgers have won 8 of 13 meetings against Arizona. Obviously, they've played a lot. Merrill Kelly, who obviously, besides Zach Gallen, is their guy, he's had a rough time against the Dodgers, like a real rough time. He's 0-11 with a 5.49 ERA against the Dodgers. This year, in two starts, 0-1 with a 7.27 ERA. That was at Dodger Stadium. So at Dodger Stadium, 0-1, 7.27 ERA, four starts against the Dodgers, 3.98 ERA this year. So not terrible. He's a good pitcher, but, you know, that concerns me a little bit. Arizona's bullpen, which was seemingly their biggest problem, they've been really good. They pitched 9 1/3 scoreless innings, and obviously we already said they're one of the MVPs. And then you're sort of familiarized with yourself with some of those guys that they're bringing in there. Like, oh, these guys aren't bad. So
Seawald has become crazy good with the D-backs. Because at first it was like kind of a shaky trade because obviously he was Seattle's closer and he was really good over there. But then it was kind of shaky at first, but he closed out both those games in the wild card, and he was just, you know, nobody could hit him. So
yeah, so I think I got to go with the Dodgers here, because I think they have that clubhouse vibe too. I think they're just good enough off with starting pitching. I mean, like, just good enough. They have a really good bullpen. You have Brazier, you have Evan Phillips, you have Gratterall, you have Joe, you have, you know, you have some pieces. Shelby Miller's been really good. So you have like one of the best bullpens. But you have just enough, I think, to get to those bullpens. Because I don't think that Arizona is an offensive juggernaut. So this is probably not a terrible matchup for the Dodgers. Yeah. So, but you know, I think the amount of power that's packed in this series doesn't come close to the Braves and Phillies,
exactly. But
it still is like a really fun series, I think.
Yeah, because, you know, if even one of the games in the early, you know, couple games of the series goes to the D-backs, that could kind of sway your entire opinion on, you know, oh, man, you know, they already proved last series that they can seemingly come back from really any deficit early on. So, you know, it could really, you know, sway a person to maybe go the other way. But
all right. So we got Dodgers. We both have Dodgers. We both have the same. Steve. All right. So the last one, we'll see if we have some separation here. Orioles and Rangers. Orioles and Rangers, they're 3-3 against each other, but they haven't played each other since May, so that doesn't make any difference at all. Again, a reminder, Orioles -150 and Rangers 105. The FanDuel's basically saying this game, this series is almost a toss-up. It's a tough one. So here's the thing. As much as we rail, as much as we said, well, what's going to happen when the Orioles get in a playoff series with a starting pitcher, their trade deadline acquisition didn't work out. So what are you going to do? Well, they aren't actually in a bad spot, Evan. Yeah. They aren't. So you have Kyle Bradish, who only gave up one run in 8 1/3 innings and 2 starts against the Rangers this year. He's had 16 scoreless innings over his last 3 starts. And so he's going to start game one. Yep, he's good. You know, and then after him, you know what? What I've seen of John Means, he's good. Yeah. And Grayson Rodriguez,
there you go.
He's turned a corner, and so he's
picked to be the what is it? ALCS MVP?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he could be, right. Yeah. He could be. And while we look at, you know, the get on my back boys of Jordan Montgomery and Nathan Eovaldi, yep. Well, you aren't starting out with them. That's the problem.
Yeah, like, that's the tricky thing.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who exactly they're going to there. I know that obviously they say Scherzer's like getting close, but he's obviously not going to be ready on Saturday. So I'm not entirely sure who their guy is there. It might be Dane Dunning. Now that I think about it, he's probably the third best guy that they have healthy, because Martin Perez, I think he's been a bullpen guy toward the end of the year. And
yeah, so I think that what the Rangers are going to have to do, they're going to have to slug their way. They're going to have to get to one of these guys. I'm not sold on Cano as a closer. I'm not.
Yeah.
You know, I do think that that not having Bautista out there hurts them. I know they have other good arms and, you know, they feel good about themselves, but still there's a lot of guys there who have not gone through this. They just haven't. And if you lose a game in Baltimore, and then you get in front of that crowd in Texas, you know, it becomes a whole different ballgame, especially the fact that you have to face Montgomery and Eovaldi. So yeah,
exactly.
So you know what? I'm going to go with the Rangers. I mean, I respect the crap out of the Orioles. I don't want to say I was seduced, but being around them last weekend, they're a very confident team. They're a good team. They play the game the right way. They're a tough lineup from top to bottom. They're just a good overall team. But I think the Rangers are starting to get hot a little bit. So
Yeah, I know that. That series versus Tampa Bay was an eye-opener, because it was like the Rangers kind of stumbled their way into the postseason, much like all the AOS teams, except I guess the Astros had a pretty good end to their season. But going into the postseason right away, you know, before the wild card game started, I wasn't really high on Texas at all. But then when they just absolutely smashed both Eflin and the other starter who I'm blanking on right now.
Glasnow.
Yeah, when they absolutely smashed both those guys, especially Eflin in game 2, that was when I was like,
we whiffed on that one. Yeah, I mean, it's so. What do you think? What do you got? What do you think?
Yeah, I know. And for the sake of going a different direction for one of the series, you know, I could go the Orioles. I'm inclined to go Rangers, but for the sake of the debate, I guess I'll go Orioles this one, because it's definitely a toss up. This, you know, besides the Braves and Phillies, this is definitely the hardest series to choose, just from like an outside looking in perspective with no games played yet, obviously. So
yeah, you know what I love about this though, this looking at these teams and these matchups, there isn't a team that you couldn't see. I mean, Arizona's, I think, is a little like outmanned a little bit in a lot of these series, maybe. If Arizona goes and plays the Braves and the Phillies. I mean, they'll be like significant underdogs. But even the Twins, because they're starting pitchers, like I can see any of these teams winning it, and any of these teams. So
it was a good job this postseason of getting all the good teams in.
Yeah, good job, baseball, by fixing it so all these teams get in. So, but I didn't want to see that. Like all the, I'm going to be honest. I didn't want to see the Blue Jays. I didn't want to see the Brewers. I didn't want to, who else lost. The Marlins, they just weren't good enough.
And the Rays.
And the Rays, I wouldn't mind seeing them. But I think that with the Rays, what really came back to hurt them was not only McClanahan, but I think Franco, really hurt them. Yeah. Having that bat and that defense, the what he did on the both sides, and I want to hold my breath for him coming back. But still, it's like I think that hurt them.
Yeah, and it stinks for the obviously the guys down there, because that's like the one last monkey they need to get off their back, because everything else they're praised throughout the entire industry for, and it's just the postseason that always seems to come back to bite them.
Well, remember this epic start that they got off, and this it's so hard in baseball, Evan. Like even in spring training, we make these huge broad judgments and predictions. And it's like, it's so stupid. And I am such a hypocrite because, so I'll spend 5 or 6 weeks down there. No, you got to watch. It's important to watch. It's going to this is what's really important.
Yeah.
And then everything just flips.
It's like when the, every reporter, every beat reporter for every team puts out the official opening day roster, and every fan's like, this guy shouldn't be on it. This guy should be on it. When it's like, at the end of the day, we're probably going to see all the guys that were doing pretty spring training on the team this year. So,
yeah. So last thing is World Series odds. And this is where we're going to introduce Papelbon's big news, which is, it's not, everyone knows it, but I just want to remind everyone how much money he can potentially make. Yeah, crazy. So here are the World Series odds to win the World Series. Atlanta +270, LA +440, Houston +450, the O's +700, the Phillies +800 again. Like if I'm betting, I'm just like, hey, I want to make some money. Phillies all day long on both of these things. Twins +850. So it's hard for me to believe that the Phillies and the Twins are almost the same when it comes to the odds. So, that said, Pat got the Phillies at +1,500. He put down 10 grand. Math would suggest how much will he make?
$150,000. This is mind-blowing. That's why I had to make that that graphic. Oh. Every time the Phillies win, because it's crazy how if you just believe in a team early enough on, you'll win so
well.
Much.
So you pulled. He asked Pap asked for the date, and you pulled the graphic. So it was they were 28-32.
Yep,
end of May, right?
June 5th, I think it was.
Oh, so, June 5th.
Yeah,
June 5th. But it's he said, Pap said we can live stream him if the Phillies win.
There you go.
We are
a little bit of an incoherent podcast.
Can you imagine? Unfortunately, I've seen his gun room. We might not want to do that. That's crazy. That's
what's the vibe around that team right now. I mean, obviously, you were just in it. It's so hard to root against them or believe against them right now. Like I'm a Met fan, and of course I was, trying to rail on the Phillies with the power rankings a couple weeks ago, but it's so hard to go against that team because it's like everybody in their lineup can hit a big clutch hit at any point. You got Castellanos, you got Schwarber, you got Stott, you got Harper. Their pitching is doing really well. Zach Wheeler, the one that got away as a Met fan, I am still sour that he got away because he's so dominant there. Obviously, Noel is pitching great, which is great for them because he had a little bit of a rough regular season, but his free agent stock's going through the roof. And then they basically have their pick between, Ranger Suarez. I guess they could go Christopher Sanchez or, I'm blanking on the other guy.
Yeah, so Ranger Suarez is going to pitch first game. But
or Tyler. That was the other guy.
I love that. And I can't, maybe he told this story before. I don't know. But the Zach Wheeler story about the Bryce Harper home run, about how it was on the 15-second delay and he's back in the trainer's room and he just saw the glass shaking, not knowing what it was. I mean, that's so cool. So it's
I was watching that, on TV. It just felt like the
Same thing. So I'm walking through the concourse when Stott hit the grand slam last night. And so I would have had some great video if I just pressed record when I was recording it all, but which was kind of a bummer because people are jumping in front of me, doing it was just great. And it's only going to amp up. Like, it's only going to amp up there. I mean, this is going to be, it's going to be nuts. So it's going to be nuts. Like, I think about the Orioles. Like, the Orioles, how long they've been waiting for this. I mean, that city is just so ready for this. And it's just going to be a great, great round. Well, I think we did our part by betting on it. So we'll do this. We'll put it on socials at BB Isn't Boring. If you pick all the right teams, if you pick all the winners of all the series, then you will be automatically put into a drawing to win, let's say, tickets for next year. I'll say it. Okay.
There you go.
So tickets for next year. I mean, who they may be like third deck, but like, no, they won't be third deck.
He's in written tickets.
It's the Baseball Isn't Boring pride prize package of a t-shirt, a koozie, and tickets for next year. Or we could just do, instead of tickets, why don't we do this? How about a sweatshirt? Like, a sweatshirt's like, tickets are complicated.
Sweatshirts, you'd be hyped for it too,
Yeah, like, that's a good, you'll get the Papelbon. We'll send out a picture of Papelbon wearing the sweatshirt. It's a great sweatshirt. I'm not just saying it. So here's the thing. If you pick every one of these, you get a Baseballs and Boring hoodie sweatshirt. Like, I'm sure that you put into the pool to be drawn for a Baseballs and Boring hoodie sweatshirt. That seemed fair? Spicy enough?
No, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, you still need your gear. You're still waiting. all right. Good stuff. Good stuff. I'm excited. Even after the 9-hour ride back from Philadelphia. There you go.